So today we're moving on from overcoming fleshly desires to the next characteristic or the next practice of a disciple. Let's go through them again. There's 10 practices. There's probably 100. Okay? There's probably 100 practices of disciples. But we're going to stick with the 10 for now. And I was just want to rehearse those one more time and tell you where we're going with these different things. The first one is the first practice of a disciple is to release all unforgiveness. The second is to be filled with the Spirit. The third one is to walk in the Spirit. The fourth one is to break every stronghold in our lives. The fifth one, overcome fleshly desires. Sixth one, bring others into the kingdom of Christ. Seven, Bible study. Eight, pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. Number nine, cast out demons. And number 10, heal the sick. So we're again on number six. And this is going to be at least a two-part sermon. And I was having a hard time today determining which part to preach first. And so I'm going to start here. Next week, you will get part two, maybe the following week, part three. I don't know. But we're going to start here and see where the Lord takes us. So today, did you know that it was very important to Jesus that we bring people into the kingdom of God? That was his whole heart. That's what he came. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, a lot of us, and it's important that we pray for one another and we pray when they're sick. But when somebody tells me there's somebody sick and in the hospital, you know what goes through in my mind? They know Jesus. Because honestly, if they know Jesus, they're going to get well. They're going to get healed. If they don't know Jesus, then if they leave this earth without Jesus, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to share Christ with as many people as we possibly can. That's what we're talking about today. Do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? If you have and I've been called sometimes, I've had people call me and say, I've got a brother in the hospital and that is sick, don't think he's going to die. And would you come and talk to him about you? And I'll be more than happy to do that. If you don't know how to do that, invite me. I'll go in a heartbeat. I'll drop everything I'm doing and I'll go with you to talk to someone about Jesus. Very important to me. Had a lady in the nursing home, when we had a nursing home here, where the Baptist church is now, had a family go with me. I think their mom was like in her 90s and wanted me to go talk to her about relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I went and talked to her. I said, now, Miss, I don't know her name, but I'll just call her Miss Faye. I said, Miss Faye, you're going to go on a journey. And your family wants you to know that you're going to be where they're going to be when they go on their journey. She said, where are they going? And so we talked about heaven. And she prayed, received Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Had another, well, actually it was the same family, invited me to go to the hospital here in town. And he had a brother that was thought he was going to die and wanted me to share Christ with him. Well, every time I would start to share Christ with him, the brother would go to sleep. So the fellow that invited me would take a wet washcloth and just smear it in his face like that. He wanted him to hear the message of salvation. It's important that we hear the message of salvation. It's important that we share the message of salvation. You have friends, perhaps. You have family members. you have loved ones that need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because if they don't hear and they don't respond and they don't receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you will never see them again. Once you pass this earth, once they pass this earth, because you're going to be in two separate places. One is going to be in a place of delight and wonder and marvel and glory, and one is going to be in a place of terror and torment. So it's important that we get in our heart the same thing Jesus had in his heart. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul said this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You know, as I read that, there's two phrases that catch my mind. One is the power of God. It's the power of God to salvation. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. I'm assuming that every single one of you here this morning have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When you did that, you experienced the power of God in your life like you've never experienced it before. It's greater than the power to be healed. It's greater than the power to be delivered. There's a power of salvation that comes only through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that brings that power except the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Nothing. In your seat, you have a yellow piece of paper. And on it is the Roman road. And I just want to read the headings, and actually we'll read the headings in the scripture. Because this may be helpful to you to share Christ with someone. It may be helpful for you to share Christ with a person who doesn't know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And I would encourage you to memorize these passages of Scripture. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. Early in my ministry, I was a youth minister. But I wasn't saved. And I know that sounds weird. But I did not know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I grew up in church, but for some reason, I just couldn't understand the gospel. But I took this youth group to the Home of Grace in Van Cleve, Mississippi. The Home of Grace was a place where people went for addictive behaviors or to overcome addictive behaviors. And most of them were alcoholics at that time, not a lot of drug addicts, but most of them were alcoholics. This had been many years ago. And we went to the Home of Grace, and I led the youth in. There were probably about 20 youth, and we sang some songs. And at the end of the song, there was the minister, the fellow who was in charge of the Home of Grace, came forward and gave an invitation. And he came, and when he gave the invitation, a young man comes down, probably in his 20s, and he said he wanted to receive Christ. And so he said, "Brad, I want you to go and I want you to share Christ with this fellow." And I'm like, I didn't want to tell him I didn't know what I was doing. So we went in a little room, and the only verse of scripture that came to mind was John 3:16. And I quoted John 3:16 to him. He received Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and I don't have a clue what's going on. He got it. I didn't. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. So I'm going to encourage you, learn the Word of God. You can lead people to Christ with John 3:16. You can do it. I know it. It wasn't me, I guarantee you. That was the Spirit of God working in that person's life. I'll share the rest of the story next week. But it's amazing what the Word of God will do when a person's open. Now, you can't make them be open. All you can do is present it. Okay, that's all you can do. Whether they receive it or reject it, that's not on you. That's on that individual. Sometimes we just plant seeds. Sometimes we water. But sometimes the Lord allows us to experience a harvest. He said, look unto the fields that are white into harvest and pray for laborers that they'll go forth into the field for the harvest. Would you pray that God would send? Can you see that there's a harvest around? There's a tremendous harvest around. And I believe there are people wanting to know the truth, but they've not been shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And I'll just tell you what happened when he told his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And then he says, go. You're the laborer. You're the laborer. You know, one of the reasons that the children are such a burden for me is because if we don't reach them when they're young, they might not ever come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's why I encourage people, would you please work with our children? I appreciate so much Janine working with the two we have in our school. Because if nothing else, there's seed that are being planted in their life. So, Jesus has a heart for the lost. Let's look at this Roman road real quick. The first heading is, we are all sinners by nature and by choice. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we receive eternal life as a free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrated his love for us, his enemies, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We must trust and surrender to Jesus as Lord. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Then I've given a prayer to receive Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, throughout my life I have sinned against you and followed my own path, disregarding your ways and your word. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I place my trust in Jesus now as my Lord and Savior. I know he died to take away my sins and rose again in power. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. Do you know I prayed that prayer similar probably 100 times, but it didn't stick. Like I said, I grew up in church, went to all kind of functions, prayed to receive Christ, but there was nothing, there was no transformation in my heart until a certain day. Are you going to come back next week? Okay. All right, I'll tell it. So I grew up in church, my dad was a preacher, and I don't know why I couldn't get it. He preached the gospel. He preached revivals. People would come and receive Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. But for some reason, it just did not make sense to me. You know, the Pharisees, they heard the gospel, but it didn't make sense to them. It was because they were very religious. They had a mindset that this is the way it should be. But it's not the way it was. And I think growing up, I tried to be really good. I tried to do the right things. And somehow it got instilled in my mind, this is the way it should be. And so it's hard for me to receive the truth. Hard for me to hear the truth. And I even went to a Billy Graham crusade. Went forward. Prayed the prayer. No change. No transformation. Nothing happened in my life. But there came a time, and I need you to understand this. There has to come a time in your life when you have a place you want to repent. You have to turn from your sins. There's a passage of scripture, I think it's in Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of rejoicing, I forget the rest of it. But repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. For me, there was never a time of repentance because I was a good boy, I thought. Until I was 22 years old, and I'll back up a little more. My dad was in the hospital with a triple bypass surgery. And anyway, by the way, thank you for praying for my brother Terry. He came through that surgery okay, and he's home now. So thank you for praying for him. So my dad was in, I was in college. I was in Mobile College, now it's Mobile University. And I got a phone call that my dad was not, they didn't know if he was going to live or not. He was in Jackson, Mississippi. I was in Mobile, Alabama. I didn't know how to get to Jackson. And so I didn't go to the hospital. But I do remember on Mobile campus, it was 600 acres of woods and things. And so I started walking through the woods and started walking down the streets. And I told the Lord, Lord, if you will save my dad, I won't do what I've been doing. I'll promise you, I'll make a promise to you that I won't ever do that again. Well, guess what? Dad was saved. And he made out of the hospital. And I did very good with that promise for about a year. Then I started going doing it again. And every time I did it, man, I just felt so convicted. The Holy Spirit just was causing me to see my sin probably for the first time in my life. And then I repented. I went home. Actually, I was living in Southwest Portland at the time with Cynthia. I went home. I got on my knees in my kitchen, and I gave my heart to Jesus, repenting of my sins. Bam. Transformation took place in my life. That's why when I'm hearing people on TV, when they preach Christ without preaching repentance, I'm saying they're not preaching the whole gospel. They're not preaching the whole gospel. Because I've lived that. And it ain't right. There has to be repentance. The second thing I see in this passage of Scripture, not only is it the gospel, the power of God, the salvation, but Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I ponder and I wonder, why is it that very few Christians share Christ with unbelievers? Is it because they're ashamed of the gospel? Is it because they're afraid of rejection? Or is it because they don't know what to say? I know what to say. Getting started is my difficult thing. I do it. So, talking to a lady, by the way, Tom, are you going with me on Tuesday? Okay. Talking with a lady on one of Tom's co-workers. And she's having some problems in her home, some spiritual issues. And so Tom said, I know somebody who can help you with that. Thank you, Tom. So she and I have been on the phone, and I haven't told her yet we're coming Tuesday. So I'll meet with you, Nick, on Monday, if that's okay. Okay. I'll get with you. And so when I was talking to her, I said, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? I think that's a good question for anyone. Who is Jesus to you? To her, Jesus is just another god like all the other gods that her ancestors worshiped and everything else. No, but she has no god. She's anti-god. She's an atheist, she says. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for her. I believe God's going to do something on Tuesday. And because I was a little concerned, like Tom was concerned, what if we go in and cast everything out and she doesn't fill it with something else? Yeah, because it gets worse. It doesn't get better. For those of you who have been in addiction, you get clean, and then when you go back, you start right where you ended, and then it gets worse, okay? And it does that very quickly. And so just pray for her that she will see the Lord in all of this, okay? That God will demonstrate his love for her, that she will see the power of God in this, okay? And so anyway, just as you think of this sermon, pray that the Lord would reveal himself to this lady. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us. I'm going to just stop a minute and just tell you again, take the Roman road, learn that, take a track. You know, I was learning to be a Christian before I became a Christian. I would go to soul winning seminars on how to lead people to Christ. Part of it because I wanted to know how to become a Christian. And one of the soul winning seminars was to get this little booklet called Four Spiritual Laws. And then you go knock on doors and then you sit down, ask the people, can you read this to them? And so I did that. Didn't have a clue what it meant. Had no idea what it meant. But I would go knock on door and sit down and read the four spiritual laws to these people. And at that time, no one prayed to receive Christ, but at least, you know, I was doing with fear and trembling what I was told I needed to do. Take whatever. This is just one way, the Roman road. Just one way. Take your way, whatever's best for you. Some lady came up to a preacher and said, well, I don't like the way you share Christ with people. And he said, well, how do you share Christ? She said, I don't. He said, well, I like my way better than your way. So I'm just encouraging you to take whatever tools you have. I'm not a mechanic, but there are some things you can't do on your vehicle if you don't have the right tools. Okay? You have to have the right tools. And so all I'm giving you is a tool. I now have hundreds of tools in my packet to lead somebody to Christ. Here's a few tools. Take the tools that you've been given and then use them to bring people to. All you have to do is say, can I share something with you that's really dear to my heart? Would you be willing to just listen a minute? And then give them an opportunity to respond. Sometimes when you're sharing with people, it's better to listen to their story and just shut up. It's hard for people to shut up sometimes. But sometimes it's important to hear their story so that you can respond to them in a way that's going to be Holy Spirit filled. And the Lord knows exactly what you need to say to them at that time. Maybe all you need to do is pray for them. Maybe. That's right. That's right. So Jeannie said, I don't think she's on, that sometimes the Holy Spirit, as they're listening, you're listening to their story, the Holy Spirit can drop things into your spirit to be able to share with them. The whole idea is to bring them into the kingdom. That's the whole idea. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, I've not finished page one yet. Now, all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You have become reconciled to God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been reconciled to God. Reconciled basically means relationship restored. There's nothing more fulfilling or that gives more pleasure, brings more joy than broken relationships being restored. Particularly if it has to do with family members, if it has to do with good friends. Man, I've botched some friendships and have caused some angst in relationships. And there's nothing that I want more than those relationships to be restored. I'm desirous of that. I'm not one of these people said, go your own way. I don't care. I couldn't do that. My desire is I want that relationship restored. At whatever the cost, I want that relationship restored. And that's the same way it is with God. Every one of us have botched our relationship with God. Every single one of us. And God is saying, whatever it costs, I want that relationship restored. I want to do whatever it takes for that relationship restored. We botched it when we sinned against him. We botched it when we went our own way. We botched it when we said, we don't want to hear from you, God. We want to do our own thing. We botched it. And God is pleading. And this passage of scripture says that we have the ministry. Not only does God want to minister reconciliation to us, we have a ministry of reconciliation, which means our ministry. You don't know what your purpose is. Some people say, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, I'm going to tell you. You have a ministry of reconciliation. That's your ministry. That's your purpose. There's two purposes. One is that you come into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the second purpose is that you bring as many people into the kingdom as you possibly can. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Scripture calls it, this passage of scripture says you are an ambassador of Christ. Do you know what an ambassador is? It is a designated individual, someone who is called out, a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by one sovereign or state to another as its resident representative. And so God says, listen, now you are my representative to others. God called you. God appointed you as an ambassador. You're not from, you know what? We get upset about the way that America is going, and I do as well. But do you know what? This is not your home. This is not your home. Your home is in heaven. And your heavenly Father, the King, says, I want you to be my ambassador. I want you to be my representative. And I want you to share the message with other people who don't have hope. You have a calling on your life. You have a purpose. You have an appointment. You have been appointed to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do you know what your purpose is? How many of you don't know what your purpose is? Okay, let me tell you again. Share Christ with as many people as you possibly can. That's your purpose. And I guarantee you, if you will begin to do those things, you will see God work and activate your life in ways that you've never experienced before. He will give you a joy. One of the things, there's a passage of scripture, and I'm trying to be fast, but there's some stuff I've skipped over. Okay. Scripture says, when one person comes to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that there's joy in heaven in the presence of the angels. And, you know, we often wonder, well, who's joyful? Scripture, it doesn't say the angels are joyful. It says there's joy in the presence of heaven. You know what I think? I think God is overjoyed. I think there's one person because the relationships have been reconciled. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I can see him dancing. I can see him jumping up and down because a person has come back into his fellowship. I can see him exalting himself because of a sinner turned to salvation. And you have the opportunity of making Jesus happy. You have an opportunity to bring joy in heaven. You know who else is joyful? The person who leads Christ, those people to Christ. I tell you, if you've ever led someone to Christ, there's so much joy in that and being partaker of that and being a partaker of sharing that with them and allowing God to be transformed right before your very eyes. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. A greatest miracle you will ever experience. And there's joy that comes from that. I'm not going to finish my message today, but I want to encourage you. Be an ambassador of Christ. God has put people in your sphere of influence that you can share Christ with. And it may be you just invite them to church. But just because they come to church don't make them saved. Okay? There needs to come a time when you're able to sit down with them and share the hope that is within you. There are people coming to your mind right now. I know it. That the Lord is putting on your heart. Mindy, I want to say thank you for bringing all those friends that you know into the church. Did you know that when a person comes to know Christ, that's probably they have more friends outside the church than they do inside the church. As you grow and you become more established in the church, there's less friends outside the church and more friends inside the church. So Mindy, now is the best time to reach them. And you're doing an awesome job, and I encourage you, keep reaching out, okay? Keep reaching out. We have a responsibility to the world around us. You know, we get all flustered. I do anyway. I can't speak for you about our governmental situation. But what if more people came to know Christ? What if we changed the spiritual atmosphere through prayer, through bringing people to the kingdom, and influencing them for Christ? What if? Do you think things would change? I know it would. The fields are white in the harvest. Today, you're here without Christ. God is pleading with you. And I am pleading with you. Come into the kingdom. Make yourself joyful. Make God joyful. Make Jesus joyful. Make those who've gone before you joyful at your coming. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I just want to thank you for loving us like you did. Lord, the sacrifice you paid, the life that you lived. You gave it all. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior, that today they would come into your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would just take away the, I pray you take away the fear of sharing Christ from our heart. Lord, there's nothing greater than that. Yes. And it's the enemy that wants us to be fearful.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, we want to be obedient to you, not obedient to the enemy. And so, Lord, we just ask right now that we, myself included, would commit our lives to being ambassadors for Christ. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.